Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, our children are gone. Our family are falling apart. We as a nation have totally failed. Oh Lord, forgive us. Heal our land. And we turn our faces back toward you.
This is Pastor Leona Ross with Blog Talk Radio. And if my people, I want to thank you all for joining me again. Today we're going to be talking about it's time to go. You know, sometimes you try to fit in with people and you try to be there with people, but you don't realize that that's not what God has called you to. So we're going to be examining that and we're going to be going through some scriptures with that. But first, as always, we're going to have a few songs with praise and worship, then I'll be right back with you, and we're going to get started in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Y'all enjoy the music.
Far away from home. Why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing fear in the way? If we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing fear in the way? Jesus is the way.
Yeah. up, everybody? This is Samuel Medas, and you're behind the scenes in the making of the Royalty album. Peace.
Yeah.
Woo. I like that.
My daddy is the king, so I am royalty.
Hey, 'cause once we weren't a people, now we are the people of the Lord.
I'm to the youngest, my strength is gone.
give you an understanding. But on the tragedy, Lord, you never let me die. And now I'm close to the promised land. And just so you know, I'm not crossing over with you and that hole in my hand. Oh, because I'm smiling now to know that I'm nothing without your love. Sometimes I just try to try a promise, because over there, the look and the honey look through that I'll be living the way I choose. But even if me, I can get 6 or 7 million in the bank, it'll be something you see. So I sing it to my going with me. I'm not moving from here. If your presence I need, and I won't care. No, you're not going with me. I'm not moving from here. It's your presence I need. Oh, in the underpants of a man's house, he knows not what to mother brings. It's true as the plans of the Lord, I will trust you with everything. Hold me up and move my own shit back, and only yet from the beginning. Trust your voice and you will always keep me with it. No, any promise plan will still fulfill it. Give you love to everything. Oh, you're not going with me. I'm not moving from here. It's your presence I need, and I won't fear. I guess if you're not moving with me, I am staying right here. It's your presence I need.
The light look bright, and we have that fight. If I ask you, the Lord, make them all your time. The secret place of your tabernacle, me your eyes. If you live without a Lord, me would rather die. Me send me your mouth, now your presence you want to move. What a number you lose. Only the things of the Lord that me want to do. Me get on a mission like Tom Cruise.
Jesus, you're not going with me. I'm not moving from here. If your presence I need, so I won't say it again. If you're not going with me, I'm not moving from here. If your presence, if your presence, if you're not going, time is not going. If you're not moving, time is not moving. If you're not going, time is not going. Your presence I need.
Father's House was the first one, and then that last one was Presence. If your presence is not here, I'm not going. Amen. Before that, we heard Byron Cage, Still Say Yes, and Casting Crown. If we are the body. So today, again, the title of our show is Time for You to Go. This is Blog Talk Radio. If my people, I am your host, Pastor Leona Ross, and we'll be coming out of Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to be talking about just how God told Abraham, listen, I need you to leave your father's house and go to a land that I will show you. And sometimes as Christians and as people of God, when God gives us a directive to leave the things that we are familiar with, we are comfortable and we don't want to move. Even though that thing or that person or that situation may be harming us or might be hurtful for us, we'll continue to pray and say, oh, well, Lord, you know, I know you're going to work it out. But what if it's his choice not to work it out? What if he put you in that situation so that it would be uncomfortable for you, that you would leave? But see, Abraham knew that his father was serving false gods. He knew that he had idols. But even in all of that, Abraham lived there. He stayed with his father for 75 years. He was with his father 75 years. That's a long time to live with somebody and you know they're not right. See? But maybe he felt like, you know, sometimes we feel that we don't have a choice and we have to stay. But God says, but if we're depending on God to get us out of that situation when he tells us to leave, then that's what we need to do. We don't need to second guess it. We don't need to think about it. We just need to follow his instructions and get up and go. See? And this is what Abraham had to do. And it doesn't matter what you don't have. Let me say that again. It doesn't matter about what you don't have. If he says go, go, because he has better for you down the road. And this is what Abraham could not see. We remember at Hebrews 11 and 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we're not going to know everything. All we got to know is that if God said it, then he's going to provide for us through and through. He's going to provide for us in the end. See, remember, he told the children of Israel to leave. He told them to leave Egypt. They didn't know where they were going. He said, I will bring you into a land that I will show you, a land of milk and honey. Now, in the process, it didn't look like that, because when they got into the wilderness, or even before they got to the wilderness, those people were complaining. See? They were complaining because, oh, you brought us, like, they said, was it not enough graves in Egypt? Couldn't we just stay there and die? Why is it that when we get in a test or we get in a trial or we get in hard times, our mind or our thoughts go to, oh, well, you brought us out here to die or we're going to die? When God has promised us that he has come that we should have life and that more abundantly. See, if he's giving us life and he's telling us to leave this place, then assuredly he has made a way out for us. If we can see, if we can just trust him. See, but we always want to see, okay, God, what you got planned for me? And God doesn't work like that. He wants us to obey him. He wants us to believe him, see, by faith, see, knowing that the outcome is going to be good, because remember, his promises are yes and amen to the glory of God in us. See, God is omnipotent, see, omniscient, omnipresent. See, so he's always with us, and we don't need to question whether he's with us or not. He said, I will never leave nor forsake you. And if we can just hold on to that, then we'll know that whatever we're going through, that God is in the midst of it, that he is seeing it, and that however he works it out, hey, that's how he's going to work it out. But we've got to get that measure of faith. See, that he has given to every man, as it says in the word, he has given to all a measure of faith. See, and that if we have the faith of a mustard seed, just a little tiny mustard seed, see, that's all we need. We can move mountains. We can move mountains. See, but in Genesis 12, he tells Abraham, he says, now the Lord has said unto Abram, Get out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now Abraham and his wife Sarai did not have any children. Abraham was 75 years old. He had lived with his father and his father's family for 75 years. That's all he knew. He didn't know anything else. Abraham probably thought he was going to live and die in that situation with his father serving pagan gods, because the commandment came to his father Haran first. The promise was for Haran, but Abraham's father got into this place. See, he came to this land and he didn't move. He did not go any further. See? See? When he got to Haran, he did not move. He was supposed to go on to Canaan because the promise was to Terah, which was Abraham's father. See? But he got there and he stayed there. He didn't move after that. See? So then God said, okay, all right, Terah, you know, you don't live in Haran. You got these pagan, you got these pagan gods that you're serving now. You've left me. Apparently you stopped believing me. So I'm just going to let you go. I'll just give it to one of your sons. And Abram came along. So in verse 4, it says, so Abraham departed. Now, Abraham left. He wasn't like his father, Terah. He heard God, and he left. He took God in his word. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. That's what I told you. He was 75 years old. But what was the commandment that God gave to Abraham? He told Abraham to leave all of your kindred. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. Well, who is Lot? Lot was his nephew. Isn't that kindred? See, sometimes we believe God, but we don't trust him. See? So Abraham took Lot with him. And it says that he loved Lot because Lot was, you know, his nephew. It was his brother's son. He loved Lot. And he took Lot with him. But that is not what God said. God didn't say, take Lot with you. He said, get out, get away. Get away from your family and all of your kindred. That includes nieces, nephews, cousins. Ain't that kindred? That includes everybody. Get away from these people. But he took Lot with him, and he took his wife Sarah, and Lot his brother's son, and all of their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Verse 6, and Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. Okay. So he went and he surveyed the land. And when he got there, when he got to Canaan, God spoke unto him. And he had said, listen, Abraham, you've been obedient. Now listen, this is what I have promised you. He put Abraham in remembrance of the things that he had promised him. And so Abraham, being a godly man, he built an altar and he gave God the praise. He praised God, you know. But what happened after that? Now he got this promise that I'm going to give you this land, you know. See, this is what I'm going to bless you with, that the blessings indeed are coming. So then there, after that, in verse 10, there was a famine in the land. And Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass when he had come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarah, his wife, behold, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. He was telling her, you're a beautiful lady. You're a beautiful woman. Therefore, it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, that thou shalt say, this is his wife, and they will kill me. But they will save your life. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me, and for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. So they go to, it's a famine in the land. Now he done left his land where there was plenty. He done left Haran where it was plenty. And now he comes to this land, to Canaan, and there's a famine. How many of you have heard the voice of God, or you have thought that God has told you to do something, and then when you do it, calamity, or what you perceive to be calamity, comes upon you? Trouble comes. You're just trying to do what God has called you to do, but then here's this trouble. God, did you really? Then the question is start. God, did you really call me here? See, I could have stayed over there like the children of Egypt. See, like the children of Israel. See, I could have stayed over there and still been in slavery, and I still could have been eaten. I didn't have to be out here hungry. See? See? But Abraham didn't do that. He went to Egypt. He said, okay, I know it's sustenance in Egypt, so I'm going to go on over here to Egypt. You know, but Sarah, you are a beautiful woman. Although you are my wife, when we get here, if you tell them that I am your husband and they want you, they're going to kill me and take you. So you tell them that you are my sister. Now we know when we read on further, in verse 14, it says, and it came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, and that she was very fair. And the princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entered, and he entreated Abraham well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen, and he asses, and men servants and maid servants, and the she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. So God knew the covenant between Abraham and Sarah. Even though Abraham and Sarah lied, God still covered them, because remember now, a few verses earlier when he left and he got to Canaan, he told him, he said, hey, I'm going to bless you. See, God didn't take his word back because Abraham lied about Sarah being his sister. See, he remembered that covenant that he made with Abraham, and he protected Sarah that no man defiled her, because she belonged to Abraham. See? So Pharaoh's house was cursed. So Pharaoh called Abraham in verse 18 and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why dost thou not tell me that she was your wife? Why sayest thou she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and the land and all that he had. See? Even though Abraham lied, God still covered him. He put a curse all over Pharaoh's house, so that Pharaoh had to bless Abraham. See, because remember, they left Canaan because it was a famine in the land, and they went to Egypt because there was no food. But upon leaving Egypt, Pharaoh had to bless them. Because God cursed him, touch not thy anointed and do my prophets no harm. See, if you are God's anointed, if God's hand is on you, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what you do, because Abraham lying ain't lying to sin. See, we get so caught up sometimes in what people say, and those people who are around her, whether it be family, friends, and loved ones too, work associates, co-workers, whomever. See, that don't mean us any good. See, always got something negative to say. But God has said that he is going to bless us. He says, come out from among them. You don't need nobody destroying your joy. You don't need nobody stealing your joy from you. Every time you get blessed, they're jealous. See, he does not want that for you. See? So now, here it is. He leaves the Pharaoh's house. And, of course, you know, Lot is still with him. And in chapter 13, and Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning. So he went back to where he was, where he set the tent up in Bethel. Unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first, and there Abraham called upon the name of the Lord. See, in everything that Abraham does, in everything that Abraham went through, we see that he always went back to God, whether good or bad. Whatever happened to him, he went back to God. He not only believed God, but he also trusted God, that if God told him to go, that God is going to provide for him. That if God told him to go, that come what may, God is going to keep him. It doesn't matter what it looked like. It doesn't matter what it feel like. It doesn't matter what people say. God said that he was going to bless me. I'm just going to take him at his word and believe that he is going to bless me. Amen? See, that's what Abraham thought. See, so he went back to the altar and he called upon the name of the Lord. And then Lot also went with him. And Lot had flocks and herds and tents as well. And the land was not able to bear them all, that they might dwell together for their sustenance. It was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled there in the land as well. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me, and thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. So even though God called Abraham to this land, he gave Lot the choice to see which way he wanted to go. He said, if you go to the left, then I go to the right. If you go to the right, then I go to the left. But we need to separate. But isn't that what God said in the beginning? Didn't he say, separate, come out of their father's house and all of thy kindred? You see, sometimes in the end, when we just feel like, okay, I got to take this person with me because they're family or they're my friend or whatever that relationship might be, but God has called you to separate. In the end, God's word is going to come to pass. See, if you're endeavoring to do God's will, if you're endeavoring to live his way and to obtain that abundant life and blessing, God is going to separate. You're going to have to. Ain't no ifs, and buts, or maybes about it. Because once you say, God, let thy will be done, guess what? God's will is going to be done in your life. If he says, separate, leave them behind, guess what? Even if you bring them with you further on down the road, you are going to have to leave them behind. You're going to have to separate from them. Because where God is taking you, they cannot go. Where God is taking you is not beneficial with them. Hanging on, coming along, falling behind. See? Because what God has for you, it is for you. It's not for them. See? And we make a mistake sometimes. And this is what people of God really need to stop doing. See, it said rejoice when you are blessed, that we should rejoice with each other. But how many of y'all know that y'all got family, friends, and loved ones too who don't rejoice with you, but instead are very jealous of you when God blesses you, when he starts elevating you? See, when he stops bringing you out of sin and making you that light that's going to shine upon the hill for all to see. They want to know why God did it for you and not for them. They want to know what's so special about you. You was in the club with them too. You was puffing on the blunt along with them too. So why are you the so-called chosen? But did they humble their heart? See? Did they say, for God I live and for God I'll die, blessed be the name of the Lord? See, did they make that choice? Not just with lip service, but did they make it out of their heart? See? Do they love God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind? Do they love their neighbors as thyself? See? Are they willing to help the homeless? Are they willing to help those who don't have? Are they willing to feed the hungry? See? Or do when you do these things, or they see you doing these things, or they see you giving your last to somebody who may be in need, see? Are they ridiculing you for it? Say, oh, you were stupid. You shouldn't have did that. How you going to get to work on Monday? You ain't got no gas money. How you going to get to work? And you just gave that homeless man. You don't even know whether he going to use it for what he said he was going to use it for, or whether he was going to go and get a drink, or whether it doesn't matter what he was going to give it, or what he was going to do with it. You gave it out of your heart. See? And God sees the sacrifice, and God will bless you. So this is why you have to come out from among them, because they're not going to see your good work as God sees your good work. They're always going to see it as a point to ridicule you for what you do. See? And it's usually out of strife, out of jealousy. See, Lot's herdsmen. It wasn't even Lot. It was Lot's herdsmen fighting with Abraham's herdsmen. It says that Abraham had a lot, but Lot also had cattle. See, he had herds too. He just may not have had as much as Abraham had. And then remember, Pharaoh blessed Abraham before he left Egypt as well. So Abraham got doubly blessed. See? Even though he lied. So they're looking at that. They're looking at that. What's so special about him? See, his wife is barren. His house is cursed. Because remember, in the Jewish culture, if back then in the biblical days, if you were barren, then you were cursed. See? Because God's commandment was to go forth and multiply and fill the earth. But if you're not able to bear children, then something is wrong with you. God has cursed your house. See? And Abraham was already 75, and Sarah wasn't too far behind him. And they didn't have any children yet. Isaac had not yet showed up on the scene. So they didn't understand, those around them could not understand why God was blessing Abraham so. Well, maybe it wasn't about who Abraham was married to or Abraham himself. Just the fact that Abraham was willing to be obedient to God, that he loved God and that he trusted God. It's just like in our natural families. When we love somebody, we love our children. And we know our children love us, we want to give them the best. See? And that's how God felt about Abraham. So you say, I'm going to bless you, and your children are going to outnumber the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. You ain't even going to be able to number them. But Abraham didn't even have a child yet. See? He had no offspring. He thought that he was going to have to leave it to one of his servants. See? That's what he thought. But see, God had another plan for him that Abraham wasn't even aware of. All he knew that if God said it, that it was going to happen. See? So then Lot leaves and he goes to Sodom, because he looks up. It says in verse 10, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves to one of the other. Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. See? Now, as Lot separates from Abraham, we have to look at this. Lot separated himself from Abraham. And remember, Abraham gave him the choice to choose. Lot looked up to the hills of Jordan and saw how green they were, that they were good for feeding his herds, that it was a lot of grass, it was a lot of water, and it looked better. It looked better to him than did the land of Canaan, where he was going to leave Abraham. He said, okay, well, I'm going to go up there because, you know, that grass looked good, it looked healthy, and it got water. So I'm going to go up there, not even knowing the wickedness that was there. See, and that's how people do. See, you bring them with you, but you notice that when things get bad, they only want what's best. They'll leave you in a dire situation and go get what looks, like they say, the grass looks greener on the other side. But they're not concerned about you. You were concerned about them, but truly, they are not concerned about you. They're more concerned about their self, their family, their needs. Hey, it looked good over there. But since you brought me here, you know, I'm going to let you pick first. See, you would think. See? But no, he said, that looked good. I'm going. See? And see, then, you know, we look at it and then we're hurt. See? Because we're thinking that they were really concerned about us. But you find out that when worse comes to worse, they weren't. They're not concerned about you, boo. I'm sorry. See? That's why you always felt like the odd man out. See? That's why you always felt like everybody else was getting blessed, or everybody else was doing better than you, and you were always the black sheep, and people always looked down on you. And, you know, you just didn't feel like you fit in because you didn't. See? But when you trust God and when you believe God, God is going to reveal to you who those people are around you, who those people truly are that you call family, friends, and loved ones too. He's going to reveal how they really feel about you. And you're, yes, I'm sorry to say it. Pastor Ross just going to have to tell you, I'm sorry to say it, and because I've lived it. And I know some of you listening online and on the phone lines probably have too. See, when you find out how they really feel about you, you're hurt. You're hurt. Your heart is hurt. Because you look at them and you're like, how could they do that to me? Out of all the people in the world who was always there for them, I was there for them. When they couldn't call nobody else, I was there for them. Up in the midnight hour, when they needed a ride, I'd be at home in my bed. I would go up, and I would get up and go get them. When they needed this or they needed that, I would go. I was Johnny on the spot for them, always. So how is it they treat me like this? See? Just leave me in a lurch. See? But God doesn't call you to depend on them. He told Abraham, and as we see in Chapter 13 and verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abraham, this is after Lot left. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. He said, look, don't worry about Lot. Lot thinking, you know, got the best of the land, but I want you to look all in all four directions. I want you to look all around you, Abram. Everything that you can see, as far as you can see, I'm going to give it to you. And not only am I going to give it to you, but I'm going to give it to your seed, and I'm going to give it to your children's children, and it's going to be forever. It's going to be yours forever. See? In verse 16, he said, and I will make that seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. O wise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent, and it came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. He said, Abraham, don't worry about Lot. It looked like he got the best land. But listen, this is what I'm finna bless you with. See? And if you can number the dust of the earth, you know, that's how many seeds you're gonna have. That's how many children you're gonna have. That's how many people you're going to have bearing your name, Abraham. See? So when people think that they're getting over on you, you have to remember that because you are a child of God, God has something better in store for you. He already told Abraham, listen, I'm going to bless you. But after Lot left, God broke it down and just told him to look. He showed him. He didn't just tell him. He said, look with your eyes. This is what I'm going to do for you, Abram. See, sometimes you just can't let people know how blessed you are. See, so God saved him until he was truly separated from all of his family. When Lot left, God revealed the plan, his plan for Abraham. Because you can't tell everybody everything. Because like I said earlier, everybody ain't happy for you. See, and if you tell everybody everything and they don't mean you no good, they're going to hang on to you. Tell somebody you finna get a settlement. Just tell them. Just tell them you finna get a settlement. They might have been acting shady with you last week, but now they want to cook your dinner. See, they're calling you to see how you doing. See, they're coming all out of the woodwork acting as if they're so concerned for you. But last week, when you was on your sick bed and you needed somebody to cook dinner and you needed somebody maybe to come over and help clean. See, maybe you needed somebody just to come and help you out for a little bit till you get back up on your feet. But everybody you call in your phone, in your address book, in your contact list, everybody, all your friends on Facebook, they were all busy. Oh, I'm sorry. I hope you feel better. I hope you get somebody. Okay. Feel better. We praying. But the Bible says if a man is hungry and you say, and you send him away, and you say be blessed, but you have not met the need, what good is that? See? What good is that? Man still hungry. You haven't met his need. You've done nothing to enhance or to change his status. You've done nothing. You didn't do anything to change his status. Nothing. What good is it? What good is that? You telling them to depart in peace. You telling them to part in peace, be warmed and fed. See? That's why it says in James, you know, faith without works is dead. It's dead. You see this man hungry, or you see this person is hungry, but you did nothing. You did nothing. See? You did nothing to change their situation. See? So like in James 2:14, it says, what does it profit, my brother, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, but you did not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? See? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. You can have all the faith that you want to have, but if you're not exercising any faith, then what good is it? It's just lip service. See? So, see, you have these people. You tell them, hey, I'm finna get a settlement, you know, and now they're coming all out of the woodwork. But when you were sick in bed or when you needed them, they couldn't come. But they told you, I'm praying. But where's the work behind the prayer? If indeed they did pray. See? Although we know God answers prayer, praying for you to be healed is not putting food in your belly. Praying for you to be healed is not having someone to come and assist you in your time of healing. But oh, when they hear about the blessing, then you got the hangers on. Sister Ross, Pastor Ross, my baby, you know, I because of the pandemic, you know, I haven't been working, and my kids need school clothes and they need school supplies, and you know, the school ran out of laptops and we're trying to get them a laptop. Can you help us out anyway? We know you just got that settlement. But wait a minute. Where were you when I needed you? Where were you when I text you? Where were you when I messaged you? See? Where were you when I called you and you could not respond? Now that you have a need, where were you when I invited you? Hey, come just listen to the word. Come and get edified. Let your spirit get edified. But now, if it's a physical need, you say, well, you a pastor, you have to give. Where does it say that in the Bible? He says, feed my sheep. He's talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's talking about the word. See? Not that every time you come, because even Jesus said, you're not following me because you believe. You're following me because I fed 5,000. See? That's why you're following me. You're following me for the material things that you can get out of me. You're not concerned about God's word. You're not concerned about what I had to say. Not the spiritual things. No. No. You just following me. You're just following me because, you know, they were fed. You were fed. See? That's why you're following me. You're not concerned about what God is doing or what he is saying. See? What's more important? The natural food? Are the spiritual food? Because the natural food, you're going to be hungry again. See? But the spiritual food is life. It's eternal. See? That cannot be taken away from you. See? It doesn't perish. See? It doesn't perish. See? And that's the thing that Abraham understood. That regardless of what went on in his life, that God was still God. See? God is still God. And he's not going to change. If he said it, that's what it's going to be. It's one thing to really want God and to really want to obey God that you obtain the blessing. But it's another thing to just be hangers on. And what I mean by hangers on is because you see somebody who's blessed. See? Or you only doing it to be blessed. See? You're only doing it for the stuff. You're not doing it for the relationship. And it's sad to say that that's how many Christians are today. They go from church to church and so-called prophet to prophet seeking a word. See? But when they get to a real prophet and a real prophet tells them the truth about themselves, then God says you need to be saved. God says that you need to change your character. God says that these are the things that need to be changed about you. He ain't no real prophet. She ain't no real woman of God. God wouldn't say that. Why wouldn't he? What did he tell the children of Israel? If you go to Revelations, what did he tell the seven churches? He said, oh, you did do this well, but this is the one thing that I have against you. See? He's not a halfway God. See? He's going to tell you the truth, whatever that truth is. And if there's something in your heart that needs to be fixed, then you need to do like Abraham and leave it on the altar. Take it to the altar. See? Because in chapter 15, even though with all these promises, see? Even with all of this, Abraham gets to chapter 15 and he says, I still don't have an heir. 15:3, he said, and Abram said, behold, to me thou hast not given any seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thy heir. That somebody, one born in your house, your cousin, your nephew, whoever, you know, it was. No, that's not going to be your heir, Abraham. He said, one is going to come forth that is going to be born of thy own bowels, out of your own body. That will be your heir. And then he brought him forth. This is 15:5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Listen, Abraham, I already told you, if you can number the dust of the earth, that's how your seed going to be. But now let me show you the stars of the sky and how vast they are. And this is what I am promising you. No. You don't have an heir now, but you will. See? And in verse six, then it said, and Abraham believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. See? God counted it to Abraham as righteousness. Because once Abraham complained, he said, listen, you telling me all this stuff, but you ain't giving me no heir. He said, no, but you will have one. You will have one. You don't see it right now, but this is what, just hold on. In the appropriate time. See, when I know you're ready, when you can handle it. See, because right now in this season, while you're going through all of this, and it don't look like I'm going to come through for you, and it doesn't look like it's going to work out for you, this is your preparation time. See? Everybody know that it takes 9 months for a baby to be born. And in that 9 months, do you just sit there and wait for the baby to come? Or are you preparing yourself for the arrival of that child? See? You getting diapers, you getting wipes, you getting baby furniture. You're preparing your home for that new addition. You don't sit there till the day of delivery and then say, oh, we got to do this, we got to get this, we got to get, no. Wise people They prepare beforehand. See, and this is what God was doing for Abraham, and this is what God does in our lives when we are going through those hard times. He's preparing us for the blessing, because how many of y'all know, if you are not prepared for the blessing, guess what? You're going to squander those blessings. We've seen it time and time again. Families hit the lottery, people hit the lottery, they buy houses, they buy cars, you know, they give this person money, that person, and in 2 years, 2 to 5 years, they're broke. They don't have anything. They can't even pay the taxes on the house they bought. Why? They were not prepared for the blessing. See? If you don't know how to handle money, you're going to squander it. You're going to squander it. Because it's something that you never had before. So you're not going to think about the insurance on the house. You're not going to think about that you got to pay taxes on this $1 million house that you bought, that you got to pay taxes every year. You're not thinking that, okay, eventually, you know, this $8.9 million or $10 million or $5 million, although it seems like a lot of money right now, by the time you get through paying taxes on it, it's a lot. See, and it's eventually going to diminish and disappear. And you're not going to have it anymore. See, that while in the time of plenty, you need to be laying away for the time of lean. But if you're not been taught this, see, then you're not prepared for the blessing. See, so God was walking Abraham through all of this. See, so when it finally came time for him to have a child, see, when he changed his name from Abram to Abraham, see, and he gave them the name of the child. He said, name the child Isaac. When he came to Abraham and he told him, yeah, you're going to have a son. And his wife Sarah heard it, and she laughed. She laughed. And so when he came back in the house and he asked Sarah, he said, why did you laugh? And she lied. She said, I didn't laugh. He said, yes, you did. Yes, you did. You did laugh. Because what Sarah refused and what she did not understand, she didn't understand who she was married to. She didn't understand that Abraham, regardless of what he went through, regardless of how it looked, if God said it, Abraham simply believed God. He believed God that it was going to happen. See, Sarah was so in dismay and so in unbelief that she sent Abraham in to her maidservant, Hagar. And Sarah didn't believe that Abraham was able to even produce a child until Hagar got pregnant and brought forth Ishmael. Because she thought, hey, you just too old. I don't care what God say, you just too old. God is God. How you gonna say what God can't do? See, because in our physical body, God has a way of working things because he created them. You have a car. Let's say you have a luxury car. Right. You're not going to take that luxury car. Let's say Mercedes, Audi, Lamborghini, Maybach, whatever. You're not going to take that luxury car to a shade tree mechanic to get it worked on. You're going to take it to the manufacturer of that car to see what's wrong with it and to get it fixed. That's the same way with God. When we move out of the way, we stop allowing those people around us to tell us what, and Sarah said, maybe. This is what she told Abraham. Maybe God is going to bless us with a child through Hagar. You go into her. But Abraham knew that that was not what God had said. He said out of his own loins, through Sarah. That's what he said. But Sarah, you know, thinking she know more than God, sent her husband into her maidservant. And then she started treating her bad. Sarah, not jealous because Hagar is pregnant, starts treating Hagar bad. But wait a minute, Sarah. You're the one that sent your husband to her so she could get pregnant. What are you mad about? See, sometimes we cause problems in our lives by not believing God and thinking we can fix it ourselves rather than waiting on God. See? And eventually everybody know the story that Ishmael, you know, was and Hagar was sent away when Isaac came. Because again, because remember at the beginning there was tension in the camp. Just like with Lot and Abraham, with their people. Now again, here it is, tension in the camp, created because we could not hear God. You're trying to fix it yourself. See? But God never called you again to fit in with those people. He said you would do it, you and Sarah. And that's all you had to believe. That's all you had to know. Stop trying to fix things and be in places that God has not called you to. See? You're trying to fix it. If he wanted fixed, if it was according to his will, then he would have did it. He would have fixed it for you. See? But if he called you out of it, stay out of it. Don't go back. Don't go back to Lodabar. He's delivered you. Stay free. So that the blessings can rain on you and you can have that peace that passes all understanding. See? Because God is calling you to greater. But sometimes he can't reveal greater to you, or he can't allow greater to reign on you until he's gotten you away from every leech. And y'all know that leeches are bloodsuckers. They hang on and they take your life. See? So he can't give you what he has promised you until he brings you out from the midst of them. He can't bless you until then. So once he brings you out, recognize those people for who they are, because God is going to reveal it to you. He's going to reveal it to you. And you have to understand that. You have to know that. And hang on to the blessing. And be a blessing to others. God bless you for you. He blesses you so that you can be a blessing to others. That you might be a blessing to his people. Remember that. See? Yeah, people love you, but God loves you more. And God will never leave nor forsake you, whether you have or don't have. It doesn't matter what you do. God's love is eternal. It's unconditional. Your family, friends, and loved ones, their love, their loyalty is unconditional. Sometimes it's only what you based on, only what you do for them. See? This has been Pastor Leona Ross with Blog Talk Radio, If My People. I do hope that this word has edified you somewhat today. You can always go back and listen to it online. Again, our scripture reference was Genesis 12, chapters 12, 13, and 14. You can go back and read it. Just talking about separating yourself from the things that are unlike God and allow him to bless you, to bring you into the place that he needs you to be, not where you think you should be. See? Till next Sunday at 12 noon, here's some music. We're going to take you out of here with Samuel Mattis, Never Leave. Y'all have a blessed day. Blessings on you.
I prepared for you. I know what you like. This place is declared for you. I know what you love. I've prepared for you. I know what you like. This place is declared for you. I know what you love. I've cleansed my hands before I raised them. My worship must move the nations. And as I unveil my presentation, my desire is that when you come, you'll never leave. Never leave. Never leave. Never leave.
More than a healing.
Yeah, we want that. But
Oh, I got to tell you my story. Cause at the end of the day, Yeshua must get the glory. Been a couple places in my lifetime. I've been exposed to so many things along the way. Been through heartbreak and betrayal. I done my share of wrong. Walk down the road and them up the hill, we singing the same old song. But one day I met the well of living water. Revive my thirsty soul, put me on this path, yeah. I didn't even know that I was empty on the inside. Now I am glowing and it's very hard to hide. Oh no, no. Now when I walk on the road, I feel like I'm on top of the world. I'm not the richest man in the land, but I've got the greatest pearl. Them say, somehow you're looking so. I say, I have a secret to tell. If you want to live like me, start drinking from the well. For the sweet, but no, I don't have to search no more. It's nice than anything I knew before. It's sweet. Let me introduce you to the cure. Jesus is my well of living water. Oh, oh, oh. I could have been like you with hatred in my heart, just plotting revenge. I could have been like them, just chasing the hype again and again. I could have taken my life and all of my pain would come to an end. Cause deep down inside, I needed a friend. Till one day I met the well of living water. Give me purpose for life, put me on this path, yeah. I didn't even know that I had greatness on the inside. Now I'm growing and it's very hard to hide. Now when I walk on the road, I feel like I'm on top of the world. I'm not the richest man in the land, but I found the greatest pearl. Them say, somehow you're looking so. I say, I have a secret to tell. If you want to live like me, start drinking from the well. Cause it's sweet. Oh yeah, I don't have to search no more. It's nice than anything I knew before. Now, every song that I'm bringing forth is because of you. Every land that I'm flying to is because of you. Oh, and every happy tear I cry is because of you. You better believe me. Every song that touches it, cause I'm drinking from the well. Now when I walk on the road, I feel like I'm on top of the world. The richest man in the land, but I found the greatest pearl. Them say, somehow you're looking so. I say, I have a secret to tell. If y'all want to live like me, start drinking from the well. Cause it's sweet, oh, I don't have to search no more. It's nice, oh, than anything I knew before. It's sweet, let me introduce you to the pure. Jesus is my well of living water. Na 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 na. Na 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 na. Paradise.